a bless. So what is happening is, as long as we identify with our story, our mind, that body as a reality, we'll suffer.
You'll be in that canal.
Yeah.
Not able to get through.
Yes.
To this open, vast sea.
Yes.
Which is very limiting in itself in description.
Yes.
But like you said, just there it is.
Mm-hmm. So this was your experience when you asked, who am I?
Mm-hmm. That. I had to go through this, and then there it was.
Okay.
How about was at the entrance to the ocean?
Yes. Yeah. And then when she said, you know, who is it? Well, it's you. And mm-hmm. then the fear was you. I'm fearful of my own person.
Yeah.
Well, why are you afraid of you? Ask that question. Why are you afraid of yourself?
Well, the reason we don't do that, because that self. Mm-hmm. That self has to be eliminated. Do you see
right,
what I'm
I
saying?
Do.
So, if he doesn't personalize the self and just say, who am I? And then take it another step and another
yes.
step and another
yes.
step, what happens is there is no personality there
yes.
that is happening.
But he has to do that.
When I have done
this
uh-huh. in the past and I got the opening, the bottom dropped out of my reality and I started falling.
No. I tell
what
you what
that
is. Okay, I tell you what that is. This is a tendency that was your mind carried from the past, thinking that this is temporary. If this was bottomless for good, you would have not been able to come. There is no bottom and there is no height. Really, it isn't. It is just the fear of losing this identity. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Mm.
It's just fear of this losing identity. So when you do it the right way, you realize that there was just the thread of something behind the curtain. When you pulled it back, it was no thread at all. Do you understand? Do you follow me?
I understand it intellectually.
Okay, I don't even want to talk about intellectually. I want you to experience. What happened to you tonight when I said to find the source of the mind?
Nothing.
And then you sat in the nothing. And then what happened then?
No, I sat there in the bottleneck.
Uh-huh.
Not moving into the nothing.
Uh-huh.
Sat there with messages of being fragmented and unable to relax into it.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Well,
what was falling? What part of you was falling? Were you your whole body falling? What was falling into the nothingness?
Well, this wasn't tonight.
Okay. You said when you experienced the falling, what was falling?
My sense of reality. My
Tony
mind.
Asked a very good question, excellent question. What was falling? And then you ask yourself, what was falling? And then you realize that there's another tendencies that goes there and comes back, goes there and comes back. And it's another addiction that we want freedom, but we're afraid of it. And it's very normal, Scott. It's not your problem. It's a universal fear that doesn't belong to you, and you're not being abnormal for feeling this way, but it's really, really good to question it and once and for all eliminate it.
But it feels quite abnormal, and mm-hmm. I have...
Because it's not natural. Because you're still identifying to something.
Well, I can finish the statement. It feels abnormal because I feel I'm moving towards that, but I'm getting more resistance to it. It's like my conversation with Hans before. I just seem to be spilling out things with my mind throwing up more things.
That could go on forever, though. I mean, you're just going to go from one
you're
to
painting
the next,
a picture.
Next
you're still
to
painting
next.
On that canvas.
Just, you're never going to run out of paint. You're constantly going to have
That's
something.
That's a good I'm not going to run out of paint. That's good. It's for all of us.
first time I kind of broke free of those confines of chains. We were doing that exercise where you go inside and
find God.
What part of me am I? Mm-hmm. Am I in my brain? Am I in my hand? Am I in my foot? Look at that exercise. Mm-hmm. Where am I? And if you go deep enough, you find out you're none of that. I don't know if that would help.
It's almost like you know the spaceship that goes in the universe, and it's just there in the universe, and it's not doing. It looks like it's not doing anything. It's just there, floating. You know, when you see all those pictures and stuff, well, you know, you're still a part of it, but you don't have to identify to anything. I don't know how to describe it.
Well, my suggestion to Scott is that nothing will ever happen to your existence as human being until your time runs out. So this exercise, I'm experiencing a lot of heat. This exercise does not eliminate your humanhood or your individuality. What it does is expands your individuality. Do you understand what I'm saying? In a way that never was before. Now, I don't know what exercise you used to do back, but I can only suggest go as comfortable as you want to go. Because this is not about pushing. This is about making it your own. And the willingness to make it your own has to be there freely without any channel being tightened. So the best is just as observe it and let the spontaneity of it take place very gently. Because I think on my path, I always choose a gentle path, which means a middle path, not too much this, not too much that. So you can baby yourself, but know that the stories of the past really have to fade away in order for you to see the clear canvas. And as long as we dwell on that, then we are actually bringing new ink and making it more sophisticated in our mind. I was telling Richard yesterday, I said, I have so little memory now. It's almost like drawing on water. As soon as I say something, it's no longer as a memory because it never came from the memory. It never came from the mind. Seriously, is, and some people might go to the doctor and think there's something wrong with them. But truthfully, when the mind begins to fade away, then the canvas is there, and the job of that white screen is to just be. Do you understand? In that there is a lot of peace. So there is a sense of survival in the mind that only by the grace of God will weakens. Really, I am really being honest with you. Only by the grace of God, I'm going to talk a little bit that way because it's needed, it will weaken. And how to establish this grace of God is by telling yourself, if God is omnipresent, who can I be? When you do that, your association with God becomes closer and closer. So therefore, you begin to feel the grace as you have many times in your life. So I would say instead of that exercise, just ask yourself, since God is omnipresent, then who am I? Instead of that way. So whatever suits you, do it. We got so many exercises. We have the trust. We have the... Because we can bully ourselves. I'm not one that will stand for hours of meditation. I think it's worthless and almost damaging for one that wants to be in the world. Because it belongs to those that have renounced the world and have gone someplace in India and sitting. So what I would suggest more than anything else in this world is the art of living. Because we only look for a peace while we are embodied. When we don't have our body, it's already there anyway. So all the work is for the well-being of here. And in here, the more you realize your own home, the more you realize your own source of comfort, the less you need to hang on to your story. The more you repeat your story, Scott, the more real it becomes to haunt you. And that becomes an addiction. This is probably why we were talking about addiction. I don't know if you have come across people in your life, or maybe you were like this at one time in our lives, where we repeated a story so much that the story became almost automatically in front of our mind. Meaninglessly always hang there, like a cut off arm. It had no benefit whatsoever. We repeated it anyway. It was a dead arm. Nobody wants to take your dead arm, and nobody wants to... And that they were all...
not even the shark ones.
Very good visual.
I just saw one dangling in front of me. To eliminate, we got really sidetracked. Let's go back to it. I won't ask any more questions because I'm trying to take you guys someplace. Some weeks ago or some months ago, I was sitting here. It just came back. I said, if we want peace of mind, follow me really good. If we want peace of mind, we have to, in thoughts, words, and deeds, support it. We cannot say, I want peace of mind, and then start stale the same manner of life that would jeep us out of the peace. In our thoughts has to support the peace. In our words, we cannot talk in the level of low human being anymore and feel like we're going to have the peace of mind. I was told to write an article for Baba's 80th birthday, and I went to say I was born in Iran, and I said, no, my body was born in Reno. This body was born. This is immediately realizing that my words has to correspond with how I feel. So as long as we become cute with our friend and we start complaining and we start thinking that I am this, oh, you have self-pity, oh, I have it too. The moment you say it, you jipped yourself out of that connection. We can listen to people, but we don't have to identify with them. You know what I'm saying? Particularly women. Oh, you lost your mother when you were young, or your father or your sister. Oh, I lost my brother too. What brother? To whom was the brother? Who am I? You know? So this way, thoughts, words, and deeds has to support our new growth, our new transformation. Like Tony was saying, now things, at first he was saying, I don't let him bother me. Now he's saying it doesn't bother me. That's thoughts, words, and deeds, right there. We can't say that I'm peaceful when I'm meditating, but I'm a disaster when I'm not, because the thoughts, words, and deeds do not go hand in hand. And remember, everything